Oh, hey, everybody. So I was looking online at train trips. You know, I was thinking about maybe someday I'll take a train trip. Like, I always wanted, it seems like a fun idea to take a train trip cross country or something like that. Also, I was like, oh, it can't be that expensive, right? Because fucking nobody's riding the train. And maybe it would be interesting. Well, I have some questions for the train. As far as, like, the people who run the trains and stuff, because there's something fucking weird and fucked up going on here. All right, let's start with this. Why does the train, do the people who run the train, do the train people know how much a plane ticket costs? Like, do they have any idea that if I fly from Chicago to Los Angeles and it was, if it cost $1,500, I would be like, this is broken. I would call Southwest and be like, I think your ticketing system is broken. Because this is saying it's going to cost $1,500 to go from Chicago to Los Angeles. Like, that's crazy, right? Do I get a discount for helping you discover this bug in your system? That is how much, like, a train ticket costs. I'll grant you this. The train ticket is like you're in a little, it's like you're in a tiny hotel room. So, okay, let's add the cost of a hotel for like 5 days, five nights, let's call it, plus the airplane ticket. So, you know, if it's $100 a night, that's 500 plus maybe 300 for an airline ticket. So that's $800. So I'm still about halfway to what it should cost. Like, I'm still not quite there. And I'm sort of like, wait a second. Instead of spending 5 days going from one place to the other, and by the way, after those 5 days, I've just arrived somewhere else. I'm not, like, on a five-day vacation. That's like, it took me 5 days to get to this place. And now, this happens. But, like, do the trains have any idea how much things cost? Or, other question, kind of related, tie-in question, do they know exactly how much this shit costs and what they're doing is just being like, you know, nobody really travels by train anymore except for weird eccentrics or people like Pete who are doing it for a novelty purpose, like just to kind of see what it's like. And therefore they can fucking decide whether or not they're going to pay for it. Or is it like people who are so deathly afraid of flying that the train people are like, man, fuck it. Like, hey, if they're scared enough to fly, $1,500, if they really think they're going to die if they take a flight instead of the train, then fuck it. I would pay $1,500 to not die. Someone's like, well, if you pay $1,500, you can live. I'd be like, well, I guess. You know, that seems like a reasonable price. I don't know how this is happening or why this offer's on the table, but if you're like $1,500 or your life, I'm like, eh, I don't know. I think that's worth the price. So maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're just taking advantage of the psychology of people who are terrified of flying, which seems kind of bad. And I would suggest to those people, like, put that $1,500 in your pocket, except for, like, maybe $200. Get yourself some Xanax or something and get on the fucking airplane. But, I'm also curious about, like, so it takes, like, 5 days, right, to go from Chicago to L.A., and it's like, that seems really long. Doesn't it seem like a long time? I mean, it's a long distance to go. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like you could drive it in much shorter than 5 days. And this is like five 24-hour period. You know, 120 hours or whatever that ends up being, right? So it's like, boy, I don't know. That's a lot. That's a long time. It's not like 5 days where I got up, drove 6 hours, peaced out somewhere, and repeat. It's like, no, this is 5 days on the train. But But the real crazy part, so like, and that's the price for, you know, you get like a little cabin. It's got like a chair that folds out into a bed or something. Or it's got like an upper bunk and a lower bunk or whatever. So that's the price for that, right? But it is possible to purchase, like, I could purchase a chair, like, that would, you know, like, you'd ride the bus for a ticket to be on a train for 5 days. So they will sell a seat on a train, just a fucking chair where I'm, like, 2 inches from someone else, that is 5 days long. What kind of maniac, A, would buy that? But B, or maybe A, I don't know which one is more primary here. What kind of maniac sells that? I mean, fucking seriously. I'm going to be just in this one chair for 5 days? And I'm sure I can, like, get up and walk around in the train and shit, but come on. 5 fucking days? I feel like, you know, we just did a drive from Oregon to Colorado that was probably 22 hours or something like that. That's a pretty long fucking time. And when we drove out there, we did it straight. And let me tell you, that is a super long time to be in a car. This is 5 times that long. I mean, when we would have arrived in Oregon that much time, I was insane. Like, I was not I was no longer a human being. I was a just sort of a shell of a man filled with the concept of transit. That's all I was anymore. And if you put that into this context, I would have been 20% of the way there. At the point where I lost touch with reality and wanted to be dead, I was 20% of the way to where I was trying to go. How fucked up is that? How does that even happen? Like, how do they allow that? People must not be taking it the entire way. That's all I can think about. That's all I can assume, because that's the only way I can give any sort of, like, credit or credibility to the human race anymore, is if that's what's happening. Because then I'm like, okay. Well, I guess if I was going not to Los Angeles from Chicago, but, like, from Chicago to Denver, and it's, like, 2 days, you're like, eh. But it's, like, here's what I don't get. It's not cheap. It's not even reasonably priced. It's not even comparable. It's not fast. And it's not pleasant. So what's going on with the train? What's happening? Is it just because, like, so few people do it that they're like, the only way to manage it financially is to just charge out the ass? Is that the is that, like, the whole fucking concept here? Is that the entirety of what's going on? That kind of seems like what's going on, right? But whatever. You know what? It's fine. I've adopted a new nerdy hobby for myself. I've ascended to the next level, which, you know, sometimes you're, like, playing a game and your character levels up and you're like, oh, I didn't even know. And you'll be playing a game, and maybe at the beginning of the game, the leveling up comes fast and furious and seems very important. And then you get to a certain level, and it's like, eh, okay. It doesn't really matter anymore. And then you get to a peak where you're like, you know, I don't know that there is another level. I mean, this doesn't really exist anymore, because it's you just look online. But back in the day, you'd play a game and be like, well, maybe level 90 is the highest it goes. So, you know, I was at level 90 for a long time and have now made level 91. So, as I talked about on the last episode, which I guess you only heard if you're a Patreon subscriber, because it was our bonus episode for subscribers who are willing to pay like $1, $2 a month. We had our annual staff day, and I won't sum up everything here because that was that, but I will say that staff day is a pretty big bring down for me. I hate it. I hate what it says about me as a person and my life. There's no redeeming quality for Peter. And I guess I didn't realize just how down I was until later. Because, okay, so I've got a new hobby. My new hobby is hand-binding comic books. So you take the staples out. You can see tutorials for this online, but I'm going to assume that you're not going to, because why the fuck would you? You take the staples out, you punch holes in the sides, you sew them all together, and put them in like a hard case binding. Like, you know, it's like book binding, but you're doing individual issues of comics and putting them into one book. But Peter, you say, doesn't that, you know, delete the value of them? Yeah, it totally does. But I don't really collect comics for value. I don't think I own any books of any value whatsoever. So I started doing this, and in fact, took some comics, bound them up inside the cover of a composition notebook. That was my first finished product, or project, I would call it. And so at staff day, it looked like I was looking at a composition notebook, and really I was reading The Amazing Spider-Man. Something like issue 173 or 4, I would say. So, and you know, I've since completed another one that was okay. And so I was looking for more to do, because I was like, all right, well, I want to start binding some stuff. Now, you might be asking, why would someone choose to do that? This is a very valid question with not really valid answers. But here's what I'll say. Like, the more legitimate answer is this. There are some series and some things that are not going to show up in a bound format. For example, if you were interested in reading Lobo comics published by DC in the 90s, I don't know if they're going to come out with like a hardcover omnibus edition of those anytime soon. The reason being is they're like, at the time, they were very politically incorrect, and so now they'd probably be worse. But also, you know, there's just, for example, I might be interested in a run of Justice League America issues 1 through 60. And it's like, I can buy these in a bunch of trade paperbacks that have like 4 issues in them, and those cost $8 a piece. Or I could buy these issues for 99 cents a piece, build up the whole run, and then do that. It's also kind of took me back to the Paradise City, where eBay doesn't exist and the comics are gritty. Take me home. It was like back in the day, eBay kind of killed the point of comics for me. Or, like, collecting comics as, you know, collecting. I would say even just collecting in general, but definitely comics. The reason being, it's kind of like, well, you can have anything if you just spend the money. Like, if I want an Amazing Fantasy 15 and I got the cash, I can get one. If I want a giant size X-Men number one, I can get one. But back when, it was like you had to go out and find one. I remember when I saw my first giant size X-Men number one, and that was like the highlight of the convention I went to. Because I was like, I actually saw a giant size X-Men number one. That's fucking awesome. So it's like, oh boy, where was I going with that shit? So eBay killed a lot of that, right? And there's not a lot of purpose to me to collecting them anymore, because it's just like, well, if you just want to spend the money, you can just have them. However, this has like made it into a crafty thing for me. It's a very personalized thing. You know, I can put whatever comics I want together. I could put a fucking Spider-Man comic and a Superman comic in the same book. That can exist thanks to me. The something the world never wanted can exist thanks to me. And I can make something the world never wanted instead of being something the world never wanted. So that's kind of a nice way for me to take control. Take the wheel, Peter, and drive. So I started doing this, and so after staff day, I was like, all right, I'm going to go out to this place where they have some pretty cheap books. And I'm going to buy a bunch, you know, try and find some runs or something just to bind them. And just because, you know, I need a little more practice before I want to bind something that I really like. And it's like a skill. So you just, you'd want to do it a few times and get the hang of it, right? So I go out to this place, and the plan is I'm going to be here for like an hour maybe, and then I'll drive back home, go to the gymnasium, and go home. And that'll be my day. So cut to 3 hours later, and what I'm doing is they have a big table there, and they have a bunch of long boxes of comics. Now, when all is said and done, I probably went through somewhere between 50 and 75 long boxes of comics, right? And went through every single issue because they're not in order, of course, because no one cares. And was like, man, they should just offer me a job for like almost no money, $5 an hour to put these all in order one time. And then they'll get out of order and it'll be all fucked up, but at least once. But, yeah, so I'm taking these long boxes, setting them on the table, and making piles of stuff that I may want to buy or probably want to buy. Or it's kind of complicated because, you know, I have a list of things, right, that I'm looking for. And some series, I have a couple issues. I don't really have much. I probably, before I went there, I probably owned 15 comic books, right? So I don't want to do any doubling up. And also, sometimes you'd find one, and because this is kind of this sort of place, this issue cost 99 cents. This one cost 50 cents. So you're like, okay, well, I'm going to pull out all the ones of, you know, this particular issue, all the copies. Because what the fuck is going on here? We keep, like, slamming on the brakes, and I don't know why. And I'm just going to go around these fools. All these thrilling driving things that you get to hear. I'd love to create a supercut someday of just me talking about driving on this podcast. Like, well, this idiot's doing this and blah, blah, blah. And be like, that was 12 hours of everyone's life that I wasted. You know, if there's 100 subscribers to this show, I wasted 1,200 hours. Has any maniac out there, like, listened to this episodes of this more than once? There can't be a single person out there who's done that. I'm willing to believe that there's a psycho who's, like, heard every episode of this or listened to all of it, but I'm pretty much unwilling to believe that anyone has listened to multiple listen-throughs, right? That can't be true. Okay, anyway, so I'm there. I'm in my sweats because I was planning to go to the gym. But basically, I just look like the biggest weirdo nerd of all time because I'm pulling out these boxes, pulling out issues, making stacks. I've got them organized based on my own insane system. And it took me about 4 hours to go through everything, right? And I'm like sweating because it's hard work. But it was really nice to like go through these because, okay, first of all, a lot of these comics that they had there were from like my era of really reading comics, like probably the early to mid 90s. So there's a lot of familiar stuff there. Like I recognized a lot of stuff, or there was a lot of stuff I'd read or had at some point. And so that was just kind of like a trip down memory lane. It was like a nice nostalgia trip. But then also, I think staff day just brings me down, and it was good to have a task to occupy my mind, but not occupy it in, like, I'm not really thinking. I'm not creating. It's not like writing something or doing something like watching a movie. It's like I'm mildly occupied, but not totally occupied, right? And also, it's like mildly physical, but not like physically strenuous or anything like that. And it was that sweet spot of like, I'm interested in this, and the pursuit of these comics within this mess of comics is interesting to me, but it's not taxing. It's not difficult. I could do this all day. And so I only did it for 4 hours because at that point I'd run out of things to look at. And I did something that I have not done for a long time. I don't really buy a lot of books anymore. It's pretty rare. And comics, I mean, I very rarely buy. I only buy some because I want to support some artists and writers that I really enjoy. But other than that, I just check them out at the library. And so, and for the last year and a half, you know, for the first year, I was pretty sure I was moving out to Portland, right? And I was like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to buy a comic book collection right before I move cross country? That sounds like a fucking good idea. And then the last 6 months or so, I've been like, okay, well, I'm pretty sure I'm not doing that, but I am pretty sure I'm still moving. Why would I start buying comic books now? That seems dumb. But now I just moved into a new place that I'm like, let's stay here for like at least a couple years. And let's just do that. And so I was feeling like, all right, I'm in a place where I can be for a couple years. And also, I think I just was engaging in some retail therapy, which I don't really recommend. And I feel like the term retail therapy is probably an oxymoron, but I got swept up in it and I totally did it. But, you know, it was the thrill of the hunt. What can I say? Is there anything more nerdy than looking through comic books and calling that the thrill of the hunt? Like, I'm comparing it to someone who's like, a bear killed a bunch of our sheep, so we gotta fucking hunt it down. I'm looking for an issue of Justice League, number 12. Well, let's see if I can hunt it down, right? So I take the books up to the front. I bought like 200 books. A little bit more than that. The lady at the front was quick to point out to me that she's never seen anyone buy nearly that many comics at once, which I was like, well, thanks. I didn't feel like a fucking weirdo already, but now I know I'm a weirdo. I was worried that I wasn't the biggest weirdo you've ever seen here. I was worried I was like maybe somewhere in the middle, but you've really reassured me that I'm an outstanding weirdo. But I bought the books. I brought them all home, and it was just a huge stack of books. I showed them to Poon Master Flex, and she was like shocked because she's like, "I've never seen you buy anything like this, like a bunch of stuff like this. This is so out of character for you." And I was like, "Yeah, I think that fucking staff day really knocked me for a loop. I don't think I can overestimate how fucked up I got from that." Just all of it. Just the very existence of it. Not even really the content or the individual events or anything. Just every time it comes around, I'm just sort of like, well, I'm alive for this again. I'm working on this column right now because Amy Hempel has a new book coming out at the end of March. And that's pretty exciting. And, you know, like whenever someone like her releases a book or like Lucero releases an album, I'm always like, I feel so lucky that I'm alive right now. Because, like, what if I'd been born in a completely different era? And I'd never know that Lucero existed and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, I mean, or they wouldn't have existed. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't miss them because I wouldn't know that. And maybe something else would just be my favorite band. But I'm like, boy, this just feels real good. And I'm glad that it's like I'm getting to have that experience, right? And staff day is like the reverse of that, where I'm like, geez, I wish I could have not been alive at this time and not experienced this. That would have been nice. It would be sort of like if you died the day after 9/11 or something, and you're just like, wish I hadn't, you know, to live one more day just to be like, wow, people are really still treating each other like shit, aren't they? To put it mildly. The world is not like a nice place. The place I'm leaving is not good. That's great. I always do feel like obligated to be safe in the days immediately following staff day, because I'm just like, if I died now, that would be the real tragedy. Like, if I'm going to get hit by a bus, if that's how I'm going to go, it's like, let's do that the day before staff day, not 2 days after. Let's not go through that and then get hit by a bus. That would be a mistake. That would be foolish. That would be a cosmic joke. But yeah, so I don't know. I had a mental breakdown. But I mean, the mental breakdown was buying like 200 and some comic books and looking through comic books for 4 hours. So I guess that's not so bad. I don't know. I mean, I didn't shoot up a school. Wasn't even close to that. So there you go. I guess that's something. But yeah, I mean, okay, and just to think about like, fucking train, $1,500, comic books, $200. And you read a book, or read a comic, you can go all over the universe. You can go to Manhattan with Spider-Man, and you can go to Krypton with Superman. I hate that shit, by the way. Armchair travel, or like, oh, you know, you could go to another planet with a book. A book is all you need. Pick up a book. Don't worry about a passport. Just read a book. You can go anywhere if you can, like, it's like, no. I don't think so. Do I think that someone who's never read a book about Germany but has been there versus somebody who's read a book about Germany and never been there, do I think those are the same experience? Probably not. Unfortunately, I don't think that's true. I feel like that's really underselling the experience of going somewhere. I mean, I know I've seen many a TV show or a movie that involves like a cross-country road trip. You know, we just drove like 20-some hours from Oregon to Colorado. And it's like, yeah, it's not the same. I don't know. So in some ways, one is better than the other, and in some ways, the other is better than the one. But suffice to say, I feel very comfortable in summing it up and saying, not the same. Not the same to read someone's highlights or lowlights of something and then go do it yourself. And it just seems so disingenuous to me. Like, it's such a weird way to promote the idea of reading, to be like, read and then you'll never have to travel again on an airplane. And it's like, I don't know. Is that what we're doing now with books? We're just lying? We're just like, I don't know how to fucking sell these things to you people. You don't seem to like them. So just, I don't know, it's like traveling to Europe, reading a book. And anyone who's actually traveled to Europe is like, okay. That seems like a little bit of an exaggeration, but okay. Whatever you say, buddy. Buddy. All right, guys. Well, that's it. Because you know what happened? I recorded for probably 40 minutes before this, and my recorder wasn't recording. So you get the last, like, 28 minutes. But whatever. You know, that was the best. That was the best stuff. The rest was just, you know, bullshit. Oh, I do have to say one thing. Episode 400 is coming up. We were thinking about not doing anything and just being like, 400 is not a milestone. 500 is a milestone. But then I was like, screw it. Let's do something. So I want you to send me your questions. On this show, we used to do questions, like moral questions, hypothetical questions. You can send scientific questions if you want. You're not going to get a satisfactory answer, but go for it. And we'll be doing that. That's kind of related to what we're doing. All questions will be answered. We take all comers. Pete@HelpfulSnowman.com. Send it to that email address, or if you have another email address, send it to that. Don't text me them. For the love of God, send them to my email. They will be answered. This is all part of what will end up happening on episode 400, so get excited for that, because it's happening, and it's going to be spectacular. And that's it. That's all. All right, we'll see you next time.